Let's turn to the book of Romans, okay? Book of Romans. As we ask God to refresh our hearts. Romans chapter 8, I'm sorry. Let's stand, all right? Usually we have responsive Bible reading. Romans chapter 8, verse 8, verse 1, sorry, to verse number 8. Okay, I'll read the first verse. You read the second verse, and so on until we finish at verse number 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 8, we finish at verse 8. All right, I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 reads, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Verse 2.
"Who walk after the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and make it free from the law of sin and death.
For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Verse 4. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8, let's read together. "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this is going to be an awesome hour. Because, Father, whenever your word is preached, thy Holy Spirit will attend to it. Because on the day of Pentecost, Lord, you poured out thy Spirit to empower the preaching of your word. And so, Lord, I pray for every one of us who are here, that, Lord, we will take this seriously, the time when the King of Heaven will speak through His servant. Father, I pray that it will not be my words, but yours. I pray, Father, that whatever that is spoken, Lord, will be used by the Holy Spirit to touch the hearts of everyone here. Thy word, Lord, is a lamp to our feet, light to our path. But Lord, I pray that many times, because our eyes are blind, we pray that thy word will shine brightly into our hearts, showing us who we are, and then telling us what we need, that we might find the grace of God and be able to walk the way you want us to walk in this sin and dark world, sinful and dark world. We thank you. May every one of us, Lord, be able to understand what you have for us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Just so many things happen. I hope you all would be able to tighten up your seat belts and just follow along. Today we're going to be talking about freedom from condemnation. Freedom from condemnation. There are three laws in the Bible. There are three laws in the Bible. And I dare say, many Christians are ignorant of these three laws. After this, I will go through them. Many believers do not understand and have not heard of these three laws that is in operation in every Christian. Okay? And two of the laws are in operation in every non-believer. These three laws are very important to the Christian and our understanding of the Christian life. In Romans chapter 7, if you are there, you can actually follow along. Those who know the Bible, Romans chapter 7 talks about the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh and the spirit. Now, the flesh refers, okay, I'll just define the flesh refers to the human nature dictated by our sinful nature. In other words, what comes naturally to you. You know, if you're tired, you sleep. If you're hungry, you eat. These are all the normal things, the human nature. When someone punches you, what do you do? Punch back. When someone punches you, you punch back. Is it? Huh? Okay, you cry. If you're younger, you cry, yes? Okay, but if you're like Brother Robert and Brother Rolando, what do? You say, come here. In Chinese, you say, let's go down the back alley. Let's settle it behind the... Right? Human nature, what comes instinctively? Okay? And when people offend you, what do? You fight back. That's human nature. That's human nature. What is the Spirit? The Spirit refers to the Spirit of God that comes into our life. In Romans chapter 7, verse 25, if not there, it's in your Bible, but I'll just read. Paul, the greatest apostle in the Bible, had a struggle with his flesh. Amen? If a man as godly as the apostle Paul have to struggle inside of him, thank God we are in good company, meaning that we're just the same as him. We all struggle. You know, for those who were in the Sunday school, I'm thankful for everyone who wrote. You know, as I look through every one of them, every one piece of paper represents a struggle. You know what? You know what? As pastor, many people who are struggling with things in this church. Think about that. All of us have struggles, whether one way or another, whether we tell it or not, whether we show it or not. We all have struggles after we deal with some of this. Okay? But you know what? Paul, at the end of that struggle, he says in Romans 7:25, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That means that although there's that struggle, and he actually said, who, oh wretched man that I am, who shall be able to save me from this body of sin? And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ. So Paul said there was a struggle, but Paul identified the solution. And then in Romans 8 verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. All right? So that is the context that we're going to use. What does condemnation mean? What does condemnation mean? The word condemnation, I'll just give you a few things. Firstly, condemnation means, one of the meaning is, we are no longer pronounced to be wrong. Or rather, condemnation means to pronounce to be wrong. Alright? Pronounced to be wrong. Example, I condemn you in this matter. So that means you are wrong in this matter. Okay? Another meaning of condemn is to be guilty. I'm condemned in this deed. Let's say if I stole something, the judge will say you are condemned, meaning I'm guilty. Alright? And then another meaning of condemnation is to be worthless. In many of our offices, we condemn the furniture. We don't use them anymore. It's worthless. Okay? And another one is, the last one, condemn means sentence to destruction. Example in the Bible is a sinner is condemned to the lake of fire. He's sentenced to destruction. So when Paul says in Romans 8 verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. If you are a Christian, this is what happened to you. No condemnation means we are no longer pronounced to be wrong because we have been made righteous by Jesus Christ. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He, God, made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. So we have been made righteous. And then the Bible also says, if you are a Christian, you are no longer guilty. You are pronounced, there's no condemnation. We have our sins have been paid for at the cross. And then, I like this. Do you realize that you are no longer worthless? Because one of the meaning of condemn is worthless. Do you realize that when you become a Christian, you are no longer worthless? You know why? As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on His name. John chapter 1 and verse 12. When you become a Christian, you become a child of God, and no child of God is worthless to our Heavenly Father. Amen? No child of God. I have 4 children. Every one of them has worth. And I believe every parent here, when they look at their children, yeah, there may be heartaches over our children sometimes. But you know, in the ultimate thing, our children is precious. Why? Because they are our children. And because we are God's children, we worth something. If you have what we call in this world, psychological terms, an inferiority complex, that is an unscriptural feeling. Because you are made a child of God if you are a Christian. You can be confident in Christ. So the Bible says there is now therefore no condemnation. There's one more thing. We are no longer sentenced to destruction. Because the Bible says before we were Christians, I want us to listen, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Revelation 20 and verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And so all sinners, all of us who are sinners, are doomed for that place. We're condemned. But when we become Christian, God promised us a home in heaven. Amen. We have a home in heaven. Question for you. So now there's no condemnation, right? Then why is some of us in this life still unable to overcome the sin in our lives? Why are we not able to control our temper? You know, as people are writing, at least three of them say, I have a problem with my anger. Why are we not able to overcome as Christians these human emotions? Why are some of us still have sin in our lives? Why are some of us still disobedient to our parents? That's the sin. Make no mistake about that. One of the characteristics of the time before Jesus Christ comes back is that men will be, or rather children will be increasingly disobedient to parents. That's a sin before God. Why? Why are we, as Christians, living defeated lives? Why are some of us condemned to a life of defeat, depression, discouragement, and disillusionment? Why? Three laws in the Bible I need to tell you, and then I'll explain to you how we can overcome. Number one, the first law in the introduction, the first law is called the law of God. In Romans 7:25, the Bible actually says, Paul says, with my mind I serve the law of God. Now, what is the law of God? This is the first law. We need to understand this. A law is an unchanging principle. Agree? A law is an unchanging principle. It is the truth. God's law, the Bible, tells us what is true and what is right. God's law is the standard of right and wrong. It is an absolute. When God says one, it means? When God says two, it means? When God says 2.5, it means? His word is law. There are some people who say, I don't want to live with laws. I was talking to one friend, and he SMS'd me. I was discussing with him. He's a non-Christian. And I was saying, Johnny, there's no absolutes in this world. There are no absolutes in this world. You just do what comes naturally and all that. So I say, okay, do you think death is an absolute? Is death an absolute? How many of you can overcome death? You can do what you want with death. You can say, hey God, I got cancer, I know, but you know, you want me to die now, but never mind. 2 years later first, I got something to settle. Can we do that with God? No. Death is an absolute. You know, after I asked him that, he didn't have much to say. There are some absolutes in this world, by the way. When you're driving down the road, the police say you broke the law. You say, I don't believe you. You know what the traffic police will say? It's okay, you don't believe me. You go and settle at the police station. They'll give you that, they give you the ticket, and you have to go, what are they to settle? The traffic police have been taught not to argue or negotiate with people. You have broken the law means you've broken the law. There are absolutes. Why are some people sentenced to hang? Because there's an absolute. When you break the law, there is a consequence. There is an absolute. The Bible says God's law, the first law, the law of God, is an absolute. When we look at God's law, the Bible, we will know what is right and what is wrong. How many of you will say that stealing is wrong? Some of you are not convinced. You think stealing is wrong? I don't have to tell you, in your heart you know it's wrong. When you are 2 or 3 years old, you already know it's wrong, right? Huh? The mom tells the little girl or little boy, don't eat the cake, huh? And then the little girl go, mommy not looking. Sherry! Do you eat the cake? No, and all the cream is here. Why? Even as a young child, you know you're wrong. You know why? After this, I'll share with you. But you know, the law of God tells us what is wrong. We cannot run away from that. Just like a student who is very confident when he goes to school because he finished his homework. Versus a student who didn't do his homework. He tried to hide. Hand up your homework, teacher, can I go to the toilet? You know, he tried to gang, you know, try to hide because he didn't. Why? In his heart, he knows it's wrong. God's law tells us what is right and wrong. You know what? There's one challenge with God's law. God's law cannot save us. It condemns us. That's why many Christians, when they read the Bible, I cannot do that. You know what? They walk away. That's the law. God's law will never change. His law, according to Paul, is righteous and good. Because every law of God helps us to be better people. But we cannot fulfill it. Why? Because God's law doesn't help us to meet it. God's law condemns us only when we don't meet it. Okay, that's the first law. The second law, in Romans 7:25, the law of sin. The law of sin. And I think all of us will agree with this. The law of sin means we are all born sinners. In Psalm 51 verse 5, the Bible says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." In other words, when you were in your mommy's womb, you were already a sinner. You say, what? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. That's why your parents will never teach you how to lie or steal. You learn it by yourself. It comes from the inside. We don't become a sinner because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. And we need to understand this. We need to understand that we're not born perfect, we're born sinners. You mean sweet girl like Louisa is a sinner or not? Sweet girl like Joy when she was young is a sinner? Yes, that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. In Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Therefore, our only action in life is to sin. Sometimes we speak evil of people, yes? Yes, sometimes we do. Did you know that that's against God's law? Because God says in Titus 3:2, "Speak evil of no man." So if you speak evil, God's law said don't. God's law said you're wrong. You're condemned. You're condemned. Sometimes we want revenge when people offend us. But God's law said, love your enemies. Wow, love enemy. Can you love your enemy? Okay, the Japanese that did this to you, or to your parents, and then you look at the Japanese, what do we do? You want to punch the Japanese? Or not? I'm not racist, I'm just using the Second World War illustration. Are you able to love your enemies? That's what Jesus said a Christian ought to do. Some of your enemies in your life. Don't have to pull up your hand. I hope not. As an individual, we are doomed to do wrong. Did you know that? We are doomed. This is the operation of the law of sin in your life. And because of the law of sin because we are sinners. Many times we say we cannot help it. That's me. How many of you, when you speak to your children, when you speak to people, you say, "I'm like that one, you cannot change me one." You know you're right. No one can change you. But I want you to understand, how did you come to that stage? In Romans 6:16, God gives you the clue how you became like that. In Romans 6:16, let's read together. All right? I know all you're paying attention. Let's get some participation. Romans 6:16, let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Paul, number one, was speaking to Christians. Romans 6 is written to Christians. Because the book of Romans was written to Christians. If you read Romans chapter 1, Paul was writing to the church in Rome. In Romans 6, he's telling these people, did you know that to whom ye submit yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Many of you mentioned many things here. There was one person who says, "I'm addicted to computer games." Thank God for your honesty. There's this thing called technological addiction. In China, I believe, there are many people who go for training camps to get rid of the addiction. I can tell you, you can be addicted to TV as well. You can be addicted to Korean drama. Huh? You can be addicted to all kinds of, I would say, things that will not edify your Christian life. Some of you may be addicted to Filipino drama. Is there such a thing? I think there is, right? Yes, yes. Filipino drama? Don't have? Just kidding. Some of us may be addicted to, is there Indian drama?
Or Singaporean drama. We always see the Chinese serials, you know, the Chinese, you know, not trying to embarrass anyone. How did we get there?
When we live after the flesh, do you realize it's a choice? You have a choice to sit in front of the computer and play computer games for 5 hours or switch it off. Yes? Students, don't hide behind your people in front. Yes? We have a choice. We have a choice. Why? We cannot control ourselves. We must reach for the on button. Why? Because of the law of sin. You feed the flesh, it keeps on going. And say, no worries, I can control it. One. You know you can't. You will go back again. Why? Just look at your own life. You just cannot control yourself. Now, Brother Johnny is okay. When I just play 6 hours only. My friend worse, he played 10 hours. What kind of logic is that? You know, I have a friend who played computer games. Last time, when in my time, they only have Pac-Man. No Pac-Man? And they just do this only. That guy played overnight, he got a blister on his thumb. I don't know how you can. I was reading Technological Addiction. It seems to me that they say that if when we are so addicted to the game, going to the toilet cannot, because it will lower their performance on the computer. That was what people say. You know what that is? That's addiction. You said, but mom, dad, don't worry, I won't be addicted to drugs. When you're addicted there, please understand, addiction means that your flesh has been captured by this pleasure for so long. Pleasure. And so that's what Satan wants you to do. It hangs on to you so that you won't do things that are right. You disobey your parents when he asks you to, right? It breaks the relationship. You spend a lot of money. Your grades will come down. Your school results. You don't want to talk to your friends. You lose in your social interaction. That's exactly what Satan wants. That's just computer games, by the way. There are other things as well. But that's the law of sin. We have a choice to live after the flesh or not. However, do you know that the catch is, after when we say, you cannot stop me, I'm going to do this. You know what? That's exactly what Satan wants you to do. You know why? He knows the moment he can catch you in there, say, don't listen to your mom, don't listen to your dad, don't listen to your pastor, don't listen to anyone. Just do what you want. You know what he does? Once he catches you, turn to Galatians 5:17 and let me show you what God says, what happens to you. Not what Brother Johnny, Galatians 5:17. The Bible says, the flesh lusteth after against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Galatians 5:17. And these are contrary one to the other. What's the last phrase? So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Okay? So when you yield so much to the flesh, okay, the flesh, so much so that it becomes part of you, you move contrary to the spirit says, don't spend so long. The flesh says, I don't care, I want to play. And the spirit says, no, don't play so long. The spirit could come in the form of your mom, your dad, your friends, Bible, whoever, good counsel. But your flesh says, no, I want to play, I want to play, I want to play. After a while, listen to the scriptures. The flesh is against the spirit. The more you feed the flesh. Many, many years ago as a teenager, I read this verse. I didn't quite understand the last part. The last part said, you cannot do the things that you would. And then it dawned on me. Cannot means, even if you want to, you cannot. Even if you want to be free, you cannot. Hey, Jojo, you want to come again? I used her on Friday night, but Jojo is my daughter, so. Okay? Let's pretend I'm the flesh. I'm quite fleshly also. Okay? So, after she's been playing with the flesh for so long, I have a grip of her. Then after a while, flesh, I want to go toilet. Go, look. Go. Go. Does she want to go toilet? Would the flesh let her go? No, I'm going to hold on to her. Maybe flesh, maybe she says, flesh, I want to obey my mom. Go and obey your mom. That's what it means, Galatians 5, saying you cannot do the things that you would. That's why some of you in your Christian life are so controlled by that thing or that passion that you can't. I know what is right. The law of God.
I cannot do it.
The law of sin. Any questions? I hope every one of us understands, because this is important for us to understand, to have victory. That's why Romans 8 verse 1, look at that verse carefully, and then I will let you quickly go through the 3 points. The reason why some of us are still controlled by sin, temper our past, in Romans 8 verse 1, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus as a Christian. The verse didn't stop there. It's a comma. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So which means, if a person is still walking after the flesh, you will have the condemnation of discouragement. You have a condemnation of broken relationships. You will have the condemnation of disillusionment. You will have the condemnation of discouragement. Why? Because you're living your life after the flesh. Does that make sense? God's law tells us what is right. The law of sin, our sinful nature, says, no, I'm not going to do what God says. And we keep on doing this, and we get trapped. But you know, as a Christian, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In John chapter 9, verse 25, the blind man said, behold, last time I was blind, but now I see. So which means that I know what God's law is. I know I'm under the control of sin. God says, you have a new life with you. You can overcome. Because why? Last time, the old nature is weak, but now God has given you a new nature. A new nature, and that's important. You know what? The new nature is the third law. You need to understand this third law. The third law in Romans 8 verse 2 is called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Let's turn to Romans 9. I need to expound to you one particular verse before I go into the three things about being free. Okay. So remember, the law of God tells me what is wrong. The law of sin controls me. I cannot get out. I cannot get out. I cannot get out. Those of you who have written the things on the piece of paper about the problems you have, you are so controlled by the law of sin. You need to understand what God has given to free us from that. All right? So, but let me just give you a promise from Scripture. Romans 9, 12, I will apply this, okay? Romans 9, verse 12 is an interesting passage. In context, it talks about the election of Israel. Okay? Not the election of individuals. That's Protestant teaching, that's wrong. In context, Romans 9 talks squarely only about the election of Israel, but the principle can be applied to the Christian life. The Bible says the elder shall serve the younger. Alright? This refers to Esau and Jacob, right? The twins in the womb. But we know that the promise of the Messiah is going to come through Israel, Jacob. Yes? So the elder, Esau, shall serve the younger. Okay? Now, for a Christian, what does that mean? It means that if I get saved at the age of 15 years old, my fleshly life is 15 years old, yes? But my spiritual life is 0 years old. Yes? Does that make sense? My spiritual life is 0 years old because I get saved at 15, ma. Do you know, all of us have birthdays, right? Do you know you need a second birthday to get to heaven? Amen? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because in John chapter 3, verse 3, ye must be born again. Listen, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot. You need 2 birthdays. So your first birthday is your physical life. Let's say it's at 15 years old. But your spiritual birthday may be at 0. Bible says, the elder, the flesh, shall serve the younger. In other words, you can overcome the sins of the flesh when you give yourself to the control of the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? That's where the third law comes in, and which is the law that we need to know as Christian. It's a law that shows God's compassion. It's a law that shows God's strength. It's a law that shows God's grace for every Christian who is willing to say, God, I surrender to you. How are we made free from the condemnation that we have? Point number one. Okay, I'm just started. But point number one. We are made free. Look at verse number two. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Has made me free. Point number one, we are made free from the law of sin and death by Christ. Remember I said the law of God is here, we cannot reach it. The law of sin controls us. What does Romans 8:2? You are made free from the law of sin. You don't have to sin anymore. Did you know that as a Christian? You do not have to be controlled by your temper anymore. You do not have to be controlled by the computer games anymore that breaks up your family. You do not have to be controlled by the irritation that you feel. You do not have to be controlled by the sins of this life anymore. Because Romans 8:2, you are made free by Christ. That is what the Bible says. Do you believe it? We are made free, Christians. We are made free. And that's an important truth for us to understand. Turn to Romans 6, verse 1 to verse 7. I'll read two passages that tells us this truth. We are made free. Some of us are so controlled by the things of this world, and we oftentimes say, that's me. That's my personality. Jesus did not save us so that we can continue in our personality. He saved us to change our personality, to become like Him. Do you agree with that? Let's move on in our Christian life, okay? Romans 6, verse 1 to 7. Let me just read. And I want to let God's word speak for itself. What shall we say then? Verse 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Are you going to continue in your sin so that God can have more grace on you? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Don't you know ye not, that so many of us as were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? This verse is not talking about water baptism. The Bible says clearly you are immersed into Jesus Christ. Do you know what? When that happens? When you become a Christian. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, you become immersed in Jesus Christ. That's why we are in Christ. Okay? The Bible talks a lot about that. So when we are baptized into Jesus, you know what happens? Romans gives us the steps. Number one, you are baptized into his death. What did Jesus die for? He died for sin. Right? Do you know when we trust Jesus, we are baptized into his death, means our sinful nature is crucified to the cross once and for all, freeing us from his control. Any questions? That's very important for us because this is the stages that God gives in the Bible. We are baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. So our sinful life is inside. I want you to pay attention. This is very important. When your life has been buried in the death of Christ, when Jesus rose from the dead, did he bring back the sins again? Did he bring back his sins again? No. The Bible says he rose back into the newness of life. Okay? In verse 5, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we should also walk in the newness of life. When Jesus came back from the dead, was there any? Did he feel tired? Do you realize Jesus didn't have to sleep after he came back from the dead? Because he has a new body. Now he could. Do you realize we can walk through walls? Christians, are you listening? This is something awesome. Okay, listen, Louisa, you remember this for the rest of your life. Have you ever played games that you wish you can walk through a wall? Noah, okay. Have a game that you can walk through a wall. Because next time when we die and God gives us a new body, you realize you can walk through walls? Because God says, what kind of body Jesus has, this kind of body we are going to have. In the newness of life. Doesn't mean you can walk through walls now. Please don't try. Okay, you're going to knock your head. But in verse 6, know this. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed. The law of sin might be destroyed. Are you listening? When you become a Christian, your sinful self is crucified at the cross. The Bible says so that the law of sin can be destroyed. We shall be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Does that make sense? Listen to verse 7. He that is dead is freed from sin. When you are a Christian, do you realize you do not have to sin again? Doesn't mean you won't fall into it because of our weakness of our flesh. But we are free from that control. Does that make sense? Look at Colossians 2 verse 10. Another passage. I'll just quickly read it for time. But I want us to understand, because I'm very concerned as pastor, many Christians just live in defeated lives. You need to understand the truth of God's word. Colossians 2:10, the Bible says, I like this first one, you are complete in Him. You are complete. You are complete in Him. You know what complete is? Holy, everything you ever need is already complete. You have all you need in Christ. Not in your strength, in Christ. Complete in Him. You are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. That's salvation not by works. It's salvation by faith. The circumcision is not by hands. The Jews believe they have to be circumcised to be part of the covenant of Abraham. This circumcision is not by hands. Okay, how is it by? Look at verse number 11. The circumcision not made by hand in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, that refers to the salvation in Christ, verse 12, buried with Christ in baptism, same teaching as Romans 6, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who had raised Him from the dead. I want to just go through to first, just read verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven all your sins. I like verse number 24. Is there a pen? Oh, thank you. Just very quickly. I'm going to ask you to just shout out some sins of this life. What sins can you think of? What sins can you think of? Just name me any sin. Okay, lying is one. Okay, anyone else? Sorry? Idolatry is a sin, yes. What else? Disobedient to parents is a sin. What else? What else? Sorry? Covetousness is a sin. What else? What else? Stealing is a sin, yes. Pride is a sin. What else? Selfishness is a sin, right? Okay? This is a handwriting of ordinances against us. Look at verse number 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. You know why I wrote this? Some of you could go, you know when you go to a hawker center, you buy zicha, you know zicha? Okay? And when you, after you pay your bill, what do they do with your bill? They poke it through something sharp, right? Right? Did you know when did that practice came from? In the Jewish times, when there was a contract between two men or two people, when the thing has been fully paid for, they would take the piece of whatever they wrote on animal skin, they will put it on the door, and they will use a nail and drive it in through, signifying that one is paid for. No need to worry about it anymore. In verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of iniquity that was against, transgression that is against us. What else? Which was contrary to us and took it out of the way. You know what God did with your sins at the cross? Not like that. He pushed it into that sharp thing. Paid. I don't know about you. When I understood that, what a wonderful picture. And Jesus Christ died on the cross.
My sin was put on Jesus Christ. And the Roman soldiers took the nail and hammered it in What was the last three words that Jesus spoke? It is finished. You know what it means? It is actually an accounting term, meaning the sin has been written down and paid for. You know what it means? It means this. Maybe I'm a murderer. I'm a murderer. And you know, I'm convicted to die. And then as I'm waiting in my prison cell for the day of my execution, suddenly I receive a knock. Not knock, they probably just banged the prison door. Johnny, come, you're free. Why am I free? Why am I free? I'm supposed to be hanged for murder, right? Yeah, I know you are, but you know, someone took your place. Someone took your place. Christians, Jesus took your place. Do you know that? And after that, no one in society can convict you of that murder anymore. Agree? Because someone took your place. If you're here and you're not a Christian, Jesus has already taken your place. We are made free. How many of you here wants to do the will of God? I'm sure some of you. But how many of you find it hard sometimes to accomplish that? Some will say, you know, Brother Johnny, I know I've been made free from a lot of sin, but I've been like that for many years. My situations have not changed. You know, you cannot expect me to change. There's always that kind of human reasoning. But there was one person who also went through that. That was the Apostle Paul. He was in prison. He cannot change his situation. But you know what he did? In Philippians 4:13, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If you feel weak in overcoming sin, the next point is for you. Okay. Second point, look at Romans 8 verse 3, all right? Romans 8 and verse 3. Firstly, we have been made free from the law of sin, which I have divided into 2 weeks, but since I'm writing, just bear with me. You need to know this. You need to know this. We're made free from the law of sin, but why is it then, if I'm made free from the law, why am I still doing the law, serving the law of sin? In Romans 8 verse 3, the Bible says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemns sin in the flesh. Point number 2, we have a stronger law that can overcome the law of sin and fulfill the law of God in our lives. I say that again, Christian, yes, we may have the law of sin that have been we've been done away with, but you know what? The stronger law is a law of sin and death, a law of the Spirit of Christ. In the law of God could not save us because it reveals the right and wrong. And because it is the spiritual law of God, the weakness of the flesh cannot fulfill the law of God. Right? You know what God did? He sent his own son. He sent his own son, the spiritual son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin. The word condemn means that he sentenced sin to destruction. I want you to follow me in Romans 8 verse 4. The verse says, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Listen to this. Law of God here. Law of sin here. We cannot reach, right? In Romans 8 and verse 2, the law of sin has been destroyed. Christians are still here. We need to apply the law of the Spirit of life. So that in verse 4, that the righteousness of God's law might be fulfilled in us. Does that make sense? Does it make sense? So the Spirit of God is the key to us actually fulfilling what is right in God's sight. Now, I want you to follow with me quickly. How is this teaching expressed in Scripture? Matthew 5:18, you can follow some of the verses there. It's behind. But I think there's one that is not there. But Matthew 5:18, the Bible says, verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Okay? Jesus also said, Matthew 5:17, which is not there, do not think not that I have come to destroy the law. I'm not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Fulfill it. There are many churches who say, we don't have to follow the law anymore. Jesus came anymore. There are some churches, we don't have to talk about the law anymore. You know what? God says He's come to fulfill that righteousness in that law through Jesus Christ. Okay, we'll talk about it some other time. But here, so Jesus came to fulfill the righteousness in the law. It is an express job of the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill each bit of the righteous commands of God. Okay? And then in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, which is not there, let me just read. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. When Jesus went to His trials, He was full of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So when He faced Satan and temptations, He was full of the Holy Spirit. This is how we need to face our trials. Controlled by the Spirit of God. You know how He came out of the temptation? Luke 4:14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. He was led, He was moved by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. And He came back in the fullness of the Spirit after the temptation. And then in Hebrews 4 verse 5, the Bible says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points like as we are, tempted as we are, and yet without sin." This is an important point. This is the point. I just read, there's no name, so it's okay. This is a problem that this person is struggling with, worldly friends. Worldly friends. Unbelievers. This is another thing that someone is struggling with. Likes to judge other people. Judging one another. This is a problem. I have a problem overcoming anger. I have spiritual laziness. Thank you for your honesty. And the matching of what I know with how I am to be. Example, substituting knowledge for relationship at times. Another person has anger. That's his problem. A person has pride. My problem is to overcome pride. Another person says, problem of being discouraged sometimes with some Christians where bitterness and hatred to others. Problem of being impatient. Now one person says, I have a problem waking up on Sundays because I stay up late on Saturday nights. Hello, sleep early on Saturday night. Simple solution, right? They have to, what are you doing on Saturday night, late night? If you are playing computer games, you're in big trouble. Okay? Some men have to work. That's a different story. Amen? Those who have to work is a different story. If you don't have to work, go to bed at 9 p.m. If you want me to come and pet you to sleep, I will. So that you can fulfill the law of God on Sundays. Christians, can I say this, Sardis? You need to sleep early. So you don't fall asleep during the service. Hello? Simple solution, right? You know the problem? It's not about laziness. It's about the flesh. What are you doing on a Saturday night? Watching TV? That's the flesh, yes? The Spirit of God says go to sleep. This go to sleep is not written expressly in the Bible. Go to sleep on, thou shalt go to sleep early on Saturday night. So that thou will not fall asleep. But you know what? It's yielding to God. Go to sleep early. Impatience with rebellion in children. Helpless at friends suffering, losing hope in God. Can I say this? Like, if you come for the Sunday Bible, you realize that suffering is not the intention of God. It's a result of sin. Can I say this? Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope in God because of the problems in life. God didn't cause it. Man did. So when you lose hope in God, what did God do to you? Huh? When you think through it carefully from the scriptures, you realize God is with you in your trials. Psalm 46 verse 1, God is our refuge and a present help in times of trouble. Don't blame God. When friends cause a trouble for you, usually they are not around when you're in trouble. But God is. Why do you lose faith in someone who is always faithfully beside you? Think about that. I'm addicted to handphone games. And I always want to find time to exercise, but I'm too lazy to do it. You need to speak to Ra Song Ling. Okay? He exercises quite regularly. You know, when I read this, you know what the Bible says? Jesus, of course, during that time, there are no computer games. But Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are. Did you know? You know, for worldly friends, how did Jesus overcome? You know how he overcame? He influenced them. He could sit with the sinners and lead them to Christ. Can you? You know why that happens? He spent time in prayer. And he knew God's word. And he knew his mission in life was to glorify God, not to get accepted by friends. I hope that helped you. You know how you don't judge one another? You know, Jesus always judged righteous judgment. He was a humble man. You need to be like him. You have a problem with anger. Do you think Jesus will be angry at the Roman soldiers for nailing him to the cross? Do you think Jesus should be angry with Judas Iscariot who betrayed him? Do you think Jesus should be? What did he do? He was tempted in this point and yet without sin. You know what he do? What did he have in his heart for Judas Iscariot? Nothing but love. I won't go on because there's so many. When Jesus was on the cross, I like this. I learned it one time. And do you know when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? You know what Jesus was actually saying? In the Greek, "Father, forgive them" was in the continuous tense. In other words, he was constantly saying, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Father, can you look squarely at the one who betrayed you to be crucified and then call that person friend?" Did you know Jesus called Judas Iscariot friend? Read your Bible. Friend, betrayest thou me with a kiss? If you are not a Christian today, listen to me. You are like the mob who crucified Jesus to the cross. But Jesus still calls you friend. You know, how do you overcome your anger? You need to fill your heart with the love of Jesus Christ. And a person chooses not to fill your heart, you know what? You're living in the flesh. In Hebrews 5 verse 8, let me just read. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. What does that mean? In every one of this, I've just told you, right? How did Jesus overcome anger? Can you remember? By having love in their heart, right? So if a person punch you in the face, Ethan, what should you do? Punch him back, right? What do you do if you want to practice this? Okay. So what did the Bible say? Someone slaps you on the left, right? What do you do? Give him your left, right? Do you know that's literal for the Jewish people? Because the Roman soldiers will always bully them. And the Romans will punch. Never mind, you hit me here. So, that's silly, right? No, that's Jesus' love. Brother Johnny, that's not possible. That's why we live in the flesh. When we have that thinking that I cannot do it, we are living in the flesh and we cancel out that God says, "I have given you my spirit, my power, my grace." And that's why in Hebrews 5:8, through the example of Jesus Christ, he said, though he were a son, yet learnt he what? Obedience. In other words, for Ethan, when someone punches him, from now on, he will never punch back. Amen? That doesn't mean you go and punch him. Alright? But he has learned perhaps that from now on, when anyone offends me, I'm going to respond with love, which was what Jesus did. Bro, Johnny, it's so hard. But I will follow and obey what Jesus tells me to do. Does that make sense? Because the Bible says, Hebrews 5:8, through the example of Jesus Christ, though he were the Son of God, yet learned he obedience through the things that he go through. Everything that you go through in your life, God just wants you to learn simple obedience to the Spirit of God as you understand the Word of God. For the person who wrote, "I cannot get up on Sunday mornings," do you know what you need to do now? You don't have to nod your head. Otherwise, I know who you are already. Because I don't. Do you know what to do now? Sleep early on Sunday. Sorry, nice. You know what you do? Johnny, it's so hard to sleep Sunday. I'm not used to it. Why? Because we are living in the flesh. You know what I need to do? How do the army teach people to wake up early? Brother Song Ling, what do they do? Just switch on the light. Oh, get up. 5 minutes wash. 5 minutes for 30 people to wash out and go. That's what they do. You know what? You just have to do it. But I don't want to feel like a hypocrite. Listen to me. I've gone past this. Sometimes people will give this reason, but Brother Johnny, you know, if I don't feel like doing it, I shouldn't do it. You know what? When you say you feel like doing it, you're living in your flesh. As pastor, I will not accept this anymore because I just taught this. When you say I don't feel like, I will tell you pointedly, you are living in the flesh. But you need to live by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God says, do the right thing. If pastor, I tell you, if as pastor I tell you to steal, then that's wrong. But I say, let's do the right thing. You know what I need to do? Pastor, pray for me. We will. I know it's hard sometimes to overcome, but you know what you need to keep on doing the right thing. Through the experiences that Jesus went through, he allowed the Spirit of God to rule and he listened to the Spirit of God. I'll just quickly skip. But you know the last part? So in Jesus' life, you can see that at every point of his temptation, he obeyed God. And he was in the Spirit. You know, that's called relational. Meaning, you know how to overcome the things in your life? Obey God. Children, I'm going to speak to children. God says, obey your parents. If you don't, you are not walking in the Spirit. And you will continuously have a broken relationship with whoever in your family. What God says. You know why God says obey your parents? Because he knows sin wants to tear families apart. God wants to put them together. So when we obey God, we are helping the harmony of the family. Amen? Okay? Parents, don't provoke your children to anger. By our hypocritical living, by not reading the Bible, by not praying, by not consistent in the Bible reading. Don't provoke your children. Say, you also like that. You know, some teenagers will say, you also like that. By the way, teenagers, you have no right to say that. That's disrespect. Because God says, honor your mom. But parents, don't give our children the reason to dishonor us in their hearts. Does that make sense? You need to be very careful. That's why I say we need to obey God's word. We need a study of it. And finally, in the life of Jesus, you know how did Jesus overcome death? You know, if he can overcome sin, the law of sin, Jesus overcome. The whole life, he lived a life of obedience, right? But then, he has to conquer death too. What did he do? The Bible says, Romans 1 verse 4, I'll just read, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. That means Jesus obeyed God the Father all through his life. When he died, third day he rose again. He overcomes sin in this life and he overcomes death. That's why when we are in Christ, we gain the victory he has. And we have victory over the law of sin and death because he overcame it. Does that make sense? I want us to understand that. We move on. Some of you have written these struggle questions. I hope you understand how to overcome them. Last point and then we'll finish. We need to walk after the Spirit of God. In Romans 8 verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God's righteousness will only be fulfilled in us if we walk after the Spirit of God. When we insert our own opinions above the law of God, we walk in the flesh. But we need to walk in the Spirit of God. Number one, it requires, under point three, it requires a change of mind from the flesh to the Spirit. It requires you to give up what you think. I'm not asking you not to think. I'm asking you to consider what you are thinking. Because sometimes the reasons we have doesn't make sense according to what God says. God wants us to be true. It's just like when you take your physics exam, you know, sometimes we, how many of you know the word called smoking? Not smoking, smoking. When you do your exams, you don't know the answer, you smoke. See, got smiling faces. Means some, see, another one smile already. You know what it means to smoke, right? You smoke in your exam paper. Basically, you don't know the answer, you write a lot of words, hoping your lecturer will be very drowsy. and give you the marks anyway. Yeah? Smoking. You throw smoke. Okay, some teachers will know what I'm talking about. You cannot throw smoke with God. He sees everything. And so, when you try to smoke with God, God says, hey, this is what the Bible says. And we fall short. We need to walk after the Spirit.
In Romans 8:5, Paul goes on to explain some things, and this is important. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Because those who are in the flesh are the people who do fleshly things. Example, being unequally yoked together with non-believers. If you know it's a sin, young people, if you're involved in relationships involving non-believers, you are sinning against God. You cannot do that. And if you continue, you live in the flesh. And I can guarantee you, you will fall to the sins of the flesh, such as fornication and sin. And that's what the devil wants the Christian people to do. Fall into this kind of sin. And then you want the newspaper everywhere will talk about it. And you know what brings down the name of Jesus Christ? Brother Johnny, I love him so much. Brother Johnny, I love her so much. Do you love Jesus as much? God tells us to live by the Spirit. That's what it means. Some of you are listening and enjoying worldly music, rock music. You're playing computer games that have demonic, immoral pictures in them. There was one time I shared before. I didn't realize how terrible these computer games are. When I was talking to someone, it's like, there were people who were wearing bikinis. Not people, actually. There were people who were just shooting people everywhere. Blood coming everywhere. And to them, it's okay. Christians, if you listen, if you do not feel anything, you have lived in the flesh so long that you will not grow in Christ for the next few months unless today you say, God, I'm going to give this up. Are you willing to? Are you willing to? Because otherwise, young people, you know my concern? There's so many young people here listening and none of us are willing to say, if this is what God says, I'm going to do the right thing. You know how many families have been broken because just simply because we refuse to do the right thing? You see, what's being involved in things that you know is wrong, we continue. Why? You have no control over yourself. The Bible says so. Romans 8 verse 6, for to be carnally minded, what's the consequences if I choose not to do so? To be carnally minded is death. To be fleshly minded means the separation from life and peace with God is condemnation, is confusion, is death. That's why some of you as Christians are confused in your life. You're living in the flesh too long. You make decisions based on the flesh. You have no peace with God. Why? You live in the flesh. You make decisions based on what you feel that when people counsel you, you don't want to listen. That's what the Bible. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 8 verse 7, another way of showing that, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Fleshly mindedness brings death, breeds rebellion, and leads to disobedience. Can I ask you this? When your mom and dad tells you certain things to do, is it easy for you to obey? If not, you have rebellion in your hearts. And you are against God. That's what the Bible says. I say as plainly as what, that's what the Bible says. To be carnally minded is death. That's why in some families there's no peace. There's no peace. Why? Because we live in the flesh. Is that that simple? That's what the Bible says. If you believe that's what the Bible says, then Christians, can we just listen to it and obey it? Moving on, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is, we'll talk about it, verse 8. So then they in the flesh cannot please God. Parents always have this, or even sometimes, not just parents, but sometimes children look at parents and say, what in the world are you doing? God says this, you go and do that. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know why? If you are living in the flesh, you're not living by faith, and therefore you cannot please God. For faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. When you live in the flesh, you're not living by faith. Therefore, you cannot please God. I give you one more consequence, which is really very frightening. Verse 9, listen to it. But ye are not in the flesh. Christians, you are not no longer in the flesh, right? Your position is the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of God in you. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You know what's the last most frightening thing? If the only way you live is what comes naturally, you will see no need to change. And then it may be, according to verse 9, there is no Spirit of Christ in you. And if that's the case, the Bible says you are still a sinner on your way to hell. That's what the Bible says. If you can actually say, Brother Johnny, I cannot change, then I will ask you, 2 Corinthians 35, to examine your faith. Because a Christian, according to 1 John 5:4, is an overcomer. How many of you have overcome certain things in your life over the last 2 months or 3 months? Don't have to put up your hand. Christians, if you don't have an overcoming life, there's a problem. You know what's the serious and last point? It doesn't matter if you're born in a Christian family. God has no grandchildren. That means I trust God, I'm God's son, and all my children become his grandchildren. God don't have grandchildren. Everyone must trust Christ personally. Does that make sense? I'll close with this illustration. There was this little boy. This boy was fostered out when he was very young. Okay, this boy was fostered out when he was young. And he was fostered out to this family that looks very, he lives in a bungalow and everything looks very nice. And the first 3 days was okay. Then after the third day, hell broke loose. This boy began to be spanked. This boy is about 7, 8 years old. And he was spanked and he was just being treated badly. For the first 3 days, the family would invite him to dinner with them at the table because foster him. Later on, they began to just feed him with bread and water, literally. Okay? And so, after that, it was for the smallest thing, he was being whipped. Many times he was being strapped to the side. Because it was a bungalow, he was strapped to the staircase. And he felt very miserable. Initially, the first 3 days, they allowed him to sleep in a nice room upstairs. But after the third day, they moved him to the servants' quarters behind, where his best friend was the boxer dog. You know the dog, boxer? You know boxer? Dog? And this boy was just, the only friend he had was the boy dreaded, you know, of course, the boy still goes to school, you know. And after a few months, the boy was, I can't take this anymore. He feels trapped. Every time he goes a little bit in fraction, he wants to be free, yes? But he cannot be free because as he comes back, there was no place else. He was fostered out. And so, he would have to go to school, primary school, and so he would take the bus to school, and then he would take the bus back, and every time he would, and so the boy came up with an idea. Tell the driver, don't go back to the place. To go to somewhere else. The house of his parents. And so that's what the driver did. Within 3 hours, when the boy didn't go home, the owner was driving there. He was looking for the boy. The boy was very silly. He always go back to the house that the owner knows, that the foster parent knew where he was. And so he went back. And after a while, basically he was playing hide and seek. And I said, oh, he can make him run. And of course, he was captured and brought back again. And he was really dead miserable. And the boy tried a total of 4 times. And every time he was so gundu, he always go back to the same place. You know? And he was trapped. And he was... One fine holiday, the brother came to stay with him. This boy was for sale. His older brother came. And together they were washing their shoes for school. Do you wash your school shoes now and paint it with white paint now? Remember last time we always do that? Do they do it anymore, huh? Remember? We put the white paint on your shoes. Remember? No. Okay, but anyway. So we were just painting our shoes. And then the older brother told his younger brother, he's so gundu. Why you always go back to the same place? Go somewhere else, lah. Oh, yeah. And so this boy planned his escape. It's interesting, on the day of the escape, It so happened, okay, the servants' quarters was actually right at the back. And usually when the family went to sleep after the nap, they would lock the door. But it so happened that day, the door was ajar. And then this boy was pretty observant. He knew where the owners keep the keys of the house. And so he went to, so he quietly took the keys, he went out. So happened the front door wasn't locked also. So happened the gate also wasn't locked. And so what he did, he was very quiet. He took the key, opened after he go and pulled back the key. And he made his escape. But this time he made his escape, not through the usual route. He went another way, really went another way. And he stayed in that place for some time. Wow, this time was fantastic. You know why? The owner didn't find him, because he was not in the same place. And finally, the mom realized that this boy was abused and decided to call the social work and took the boy out of the foster care. The boy was set free from that. There was an intention to do it. There was an intention. But he was so stuck in his way of going back to that place, and that's the only way of escape, that you always get caught and brought back, caught and brought back four times. Until his older brother came. Why are you so gundu? Why don't you try a different way? And as a result of him trying the different way, it came to light what this couple did in terms of the abuse and all that. The boy was set free. From then on, the boy didn't go back to the foster care. The boy was me. I say that to say that many of us are trapped by the law of sin, but we know what's the right thing to do. But we use the same old ways again and again and again. Until an elder brother, our dear Lord Jesus Christ, comes and says, I don't know whether he'll call us gundus. I don't think he will. He loves us. But you know what he might say? Why don't you just try and follow the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time. I know I've gone a long time, but God, I pray your people will understand that when Jesus died on the cross, he came to set the captives free. That many people are still in sin and discouragement and disillusionment because they do not understand the power of the grace of Christ. And that they are already, as a Christian, free from sin and death. Completely free. Because thy word tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Father, I do not know what you are trying to do. We thank you firstly for the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that will make us free if we will just obey what thy word says. And Father, no longer, Lord, give the excuse, that's me. Thank you, Lord, for saving us the way we are, sinners. But thank you also, Lord, that it is not your will that we remain the way we are, that we need to grow. With your eyes closed and heads bowed, no one looking around, please. Just close your eyes and bow your heads. It's an important time. Is there someone who will say, Brother Johnny, I understand the message, the law of God. And I must say, there's a law of sin in my life that I don't seem to overcome. Now I understand God has made us free. And I want to learn to step by step start to obey God where He wants me to obey. Is there anyone like that who said, Pastor Johnny, pray for me? I will obey God, but I really need God's strength. Is there someone who will put up your right hand and say, Pastor, pray for me? Amen. I see that. Put it up and put it down. Amen. I see. Put it up and put it down. And then pray in your heart, God, help me to obey. Follow the Spirit of God in the Word of God. If, Lord, you tell me not to get angry, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Amen. As God, for Christ's sake, forgive. God, I will learn to forgive. Lord, I will learn to follow. Is there someone else? And many hands have gone up. Amen. I see that hand. Just put up your hand, put it down, and pray in your heart. Yes, I see that hand too. Put it up and put it down. Pray in your hearts. I don't know your heart, but God does. When you respond, it means that, God, I'm responding. You're not responding to Pastor Johnny. You're responding to the gentle prompting in your heart. Say, God, I need you to help me overcome these things. Is there someone else? Someone else. Can I just ask this? If you are here today, you say, Brother Johnny, I've always done what comes naturally to me. According to your word, or God's word, it appears I may not have the Spirit of Christ. That means if I was to die, Brother Johnny, I don't understand that sin is so terrible that it will break up relationships. I don't realize sin is so terrible. But now I want to repent of my sin and submit to God. And let Christ cleanse me from my sin. Because otherwise, if I don't have the Spirit of God, I will just continue the way I am. Is there someone who is saying, Brother Johnny, pray for me. I would like to put my faith in Jesus Christ. Let His Spirit control my life. I don't want to live the way I'm living now. Is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand, I'll pray for you. Is God moving in your heart? We're not here to embarrass you. We're not here to ask you to join the church. We just want to share with you how much Jesus loves you. Is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand, I'll pray for you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. I firstly pray for every brother and sister who put up their hand, indicating the struggle they have. Lord, thy word teaches us very clearly the three laws, the standard you have, and also the truth that we are made free as a Christian. And now all we need to do is to obey your word, to follow what the Holy Spirit tells us to do in your word. That when we need to forgive, we need to forgive. That when we need to give, we need to give. When we need to serve, we'll just obey what the Holy Spirit prompts us to do through thy word. Father, I thank you for the many hands that have gone up. Father, I pray specifically that these Christians from today onwards, as they yield their heart to obeying your word, to walk in the Spirit of God, to receive your grace, that God, you will help them to continue in this life of victory, that their life will no longer be condemned. In the hidden areas of their lives that only you know, Lord, I pray you will set them free only through your word as they obey. God, I thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you for the victory, Lord, that these Christians are going to have. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. Help these Christians, Father, to walk in victory. And help us as a church to encourage one another too, that we will not fall into this trap of believing Satan's lies that we cannot overcome, because we can. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by His strength through His word and by His grace, we can overcome. Father, I ask your Holy Spirit to continually abide with these people, that they might feel, they might not just feel, but know in their hearts. Feelings will change, but God, the knowledge that you are with them will help them in the things that they are telling you about. I pray you change them from glory to glory. Lord, as we close, we thank you for what you're going to do. I ask for a double portion of your Spirit to strengthen every believer, Lord, to always live an overcoming life. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, before you leave, those who have put up your hand, let me just tell you this. You are going to have struggle for the next few weeks because you are trying to get out of an area that Satan wants to hold you in. My counsel to you, if your mom or dad is a Christian, tell your mom and dad your struggles. Let them pray for you. And mom and dad, when your children come to you to tell them their struggles, don't despise them, don't condemn them, don't judge them. Say, I will pray with you. I will help you. Many children go away from God because parents, we are not supportive enough of their Christian life.
and the struggles they have. You know, we need to be the picture of Jesus' love to our children so that we can walk with them. Does that make sense? If you are in the doubt and you are struggling, you can speak with me. You have a guy. If you're a lady, speak with some of the ladies in this church. Have someone to walk with you. Because to overcome something that is so deep, need someone else. So that when you fall, someone will pull you up. Amen? You know, as a church, we need to do that. There's nothing to be ashamed of. How many of you don't have troubles in this life? Put up your hand. We all have. It's okay to say we have problems. But you know what? As a church of Jesus Christ, we thank God our Savior is going to help us with this, all right? So let's work together and encourage one another. Okay? For those who have put up your hand, just keep close to God. Drop me an email so that if you really are, say, Brother Johnny, I don't know what to do. Drop someone an email that can counsel you, give you God's counsel so that you can start to obey. Youth, you have your youth leaders. Go to your youth leaders. I know them. They love God. They love you. Share with them. Pour your hearts. And of course, after that, just keep it confidential so that you'll be helped. All right? God bless you. Walk in the Spirit. Don't make decisions in the flesh.